T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Right now, let's get to our guest, please. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, our guest this morning, as he is every Thursday. Jim, happy Thursday to you.
And the same back to you, Mark.
Yes, sir. What do you think about the potential impact of this IG report that we're all waiting for on the Steele dossier and the beginnings of this Russian collusion investigation?
Well, I had two thoughts when you were talking. One, the IGs can refer for prosecution. They don't initiate charges. They're not the Justice Department, but they can refer. So we may see that. And the second thing is, I understand why you refer to the Steele dossier as uncorroborated, unproven. But I'm just starting to refer to it as fantasy. In other words, it's disproven, right? And I've said on this show going back months and months and months that I greatly fear there was a cabal at the top of the FBI and the Justice Department, which exceeded in numerous ways at minimum their authority and violated the rule. And I'm going to be very surprised if the IG doesn't find that. And that's a very serious thing, apart from the players here or the partisan implications. You don't want your chief law enforcement agencies being corrupted by politics.
Well,
you just don't. It's real. There's been enough reduction in the faith of the people in the government already without that.
Thank you for saying that. That's the thing about it. For people who've heard me talk about this over the years, and I'm sure you as well, when I was talking about problems in the FBI, under James Comey and some of the other things, I'm talking about the people at the top that are playing politics, not the FBI agents that are on the street here in St. Louis doing the tough work every day and kicking in doors and making arrests and all that. It's the same in the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happened in the mother nest, and believe me, there are so many rules and protocols to prevent that from happening. So you have to make a real effort to get around those. It's not a question of well, we just didn't know. You don't, for just one thing, you don't defraud the FISA court, because the FISA court was set up very. Just take one example. It was set up very carefully in order to make it constitutional, right? It's a very careful balance between constitutional rights and the need for robust intelligence collection, which is undeniable. And if you don't follow the rules, okay, you call into question the constitutionality and certainly the legitimacy of that whole scheme, which mm-hmm. I hate to see, because there are many people to whom I'm very close politically who are already very suspicious of the intelligence community, and I don't want it to backlash and reduce the robust intelligence collection we need, and because we'll be in danger if that happens. And when people transgress against the rules, they open the agencies up to that. And so, I'm not looking forward to this on any personal level. Although I do think a cleanup is really going to be necessary. We're going to have to confront it. But we'll wait to see what the IG says. Maybe we're wrong. We'll see.
One of the keys to what Joe DeGeneva talked about there is that we've been waiting. Like, it seems like every week we say, well, the IG report could be out this week. He claims it's been delayed because of grand jury proceedings surrounding the U.S. Attorney Durham, who's working on a similar, maybe parallel investigation through his office, and that's kind of what's delayed it. So it may be even bigger than anybody knows.
Well, I do have confidence that Bill Barr is following the rules. He's an institution guy in the best sense of the word. He's certainly not, known as a pro-Trump guy in particular, right? He's an like William French Smith, who was one of Reagan's attorney generals, right? And there are these rules, and he's following them. And when you have parallel investigations going on, you have to coordinate them so they don't compromise each other. I mean, if you release the wrong thing at the wrong time, you can compromise a grand jury or compromise a potential trial. So they're coordinating all of that. I have faith in the attorney general. I mean, I'll just say it. I do. I think he's been forthright, and I think he's doing the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm glad that you pointed that out, and hopefully that's coming along. The best thing I saw yesterday, just to let people know, Mark Meadows from the House, who is really not shy about anything, happens to be walking through the House while an MSNBC reporter is doing her live report. And he overhears her say something, and he stopped and he interrupted her. Listen to Cut 14.
Right now, but Republicans are really struggling to defend the president. Okay, great.
I'm not struggling on anything.
Okay, so Congressman.
So the Republicans are not struggling on anything.
So Congressman.
He just happened to walk by in the background, and he heard her saying, the Republicans are really struggling on impeachment. And he stops and he goes, we're not struggling. We're not being given, you know, the authority that has been given to the opposition in past impeachment hearings, but we're not struggling.
Yeah, and the process, I mean, Hawley did a really good job of explaining that. And by the way, I mean, a guy like Senator Hawley, with his background in litigation, and I think he's going to play a major role if something does get over to the Senate, depending on how the Senate handles it. We don't have enough time to discuss all the different alternatives that I'm sure McConnell is considering. But the process has been defective to this point. It hasn't caught up with the politics yet. That's going to change pretty soon. I think the underlying substantive issue here is, to me, Mark, the question is a president prohibited from doing something he would otherwise be fully entitled to do because he allegedly has a political motive for doing it? And the answer to that question, as soon as all this broke, I said to myself, well, surely the answer to that question must be no, he's not prohibited from doing it, at least in the vast majority of cases, because political actors are political actors.
Right.
I mean, when I was in the Armed Services Committee, I might not, this never actually happened, but I might have said to somebody, look, if you'll vote for extra F-16s, or pardon me, extra F-18s, which Boeing makes, I'll vote for extra F-16s, okay? And I might have a political motive for that because Boeing's in St. Louis, right? At the military headquarters. That doesn't mean that I can be expelled for doing something like that. If you want to attack somebody politically, if somebody wanted to say, look, you know, President Trump wasn't really conducting foreign policy, he just had a political motive, that's fair game politically, okay? But it's not a grounds for impeachment.
Right.
And so there's a good lawyer like Josh Hawley was, there's a question of law here as well as the question of facts, which we haven't gotten at all because they haven't allowed a fair process. And so I hope that's starting to change now.
I see, to your point there with the question of whether or not a president has the right to do that. I think it's a little telling that in the middle of Joe Biden's discussion that time where he's talking about what he did in the Ukraine, he specifically says, I'm not going to give you the money unless you fire this prosecutor. And he said that the Ukrainians' response to him was, you can't do that. You're not the president. And he said, call him. Now, that interaction to me explains to me that in Joe Biden's mind, he felt that Barack Obama had every right to deny political funding or military funding or whatever it was, loan guarantees, unless he got what he wanted quid pro quo, which was the firing of a prosecutor.
Oh, of course he does. It's fully within his discretion to do that. The question is, would that have been? Now, again, you can attack him on a matter of policy. You know, you can criticize and do all that, but it's not something that's impeachable or expellable. Now, the question is, suppose there was a diary entry of Joe Biden saying, I did this because I knew it would be a great story for me to tell on the stump.
Right.
Okay. Which he probably was in the back of his mind. Look, I'm a politician. He's a politician. Does that mean he could have been impeached for that? No, because he had a legitimate basis for in policy for doing it. Okay. Now, if he didn't, and the President Trump had a legitimate basis for saying, look, you know, we're worried that this Hunter Biden stuff is corrupt. I mean, on the surface, it doesn't pass the smell test. And we're investigating it, and we need your cooperation in doing that. He had every right, as a matter of policy, to push for that. And so if he had in the back of his mind a political motive, that's the factual question, which we haven't resolved yet.
Right.
It doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't make any difference in terms of the broader question of a legal grounds for impeachment. Okay. Look, Obama said to Medvedev, I can do more. I can be more flexible after the election. Remember?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it's clear that Obama's foreign policy decisions were being affected by his political calculus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, yeah. Romney used that against him in the campaign, and I helped him do it. But we never suggested that Obama could be impeached for that, because he had every right to conduct negotiations and be flexible if he wanted. It may have been bad policy, but it was right. within his discretion as president.
Right. Well, you see, here's where I hear them pivoting. I had former Missouri State Senator Jeff Smith on this morning, and then I heard Marie Harf, the former State Department official for the Obama administration, say it last night on Fox. We have that bite. Go ahead and play it, please.
Bill Taylor's the first witness for a reason publicly. I do think that the Democrats believe he's probably the most damaging, but we're going to hear from everyone. And Republicans have been calling for weeks on the House to have public hearings and to release the transcripts. Now they're getting that. The process argument goes away, and now they have to engage on the substance, which is bigger and broader than that one phone call.
So that's their argument now. The talking point on the left is it's more than that one phone call. Because, of course, we have the transcript from that one phone call. But what they've done very strategically is compile pages and pages of additional transcripts of testimony that they now want to try to use to change what you read in that transcript with your own eyes.
Well, I do think we're going to be able to get at the facts now, assuming that they're going to have a process where the other side is allowed to call witnesses and ask questions.
Yes.
I mean, it's
yes.
pretty hard to get at the facts if you don't have that. But again, I mean, I think the issue is here is what a president is entitled to pressure a foreign country to do. He is entitled to insist the foreign country do. You see?
Yes.
I mean, without at least it being an impeachable offense. And that's exactly what Biden did. He didn't just say to them, oh, we'd like you to fire the prosecutor. It might hurt our partnership if you don't. He said, if you don't fire the prosecutor, you're not getting the aid.
Yeah.
And the reason that wasn't impeachable is because he had a legitimate reason for wanting them to fire the prosecutor. We can argue about it as a matter of policy again. And the president, as soon as I saw this, I didn't know Hunter Biden was getting paid $500,000 a year for being on an oil and gas company when he knows nothing about oil. The only reason he was on that board is because of his name.
Yes.
And it raises very legitimate issues of whether there was a conflict of interest and undue influence rates. And the president was entitled to say, we want you to help us investigate it. Now, in the back of his mind, did he think, gee, this. Look, Mark, let's look at this another way. Suppose Trump had said, you know what, I really feel like we should investigate this because I think there may have been corruption here, but I'm not going to raise it with him because I'm afraid of the political backlash. I'm afraid people will say I'm doing it for political reasons. Now you could turn around and say he wasn't doing his job for political reasons.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is why you can't get into political actors have political motives. That doesn't mean that what they're doing as a matter of policy is something that they can't do or you can throw them out for. And that's the problem. This is an attack basically on the institutional legitimacy of the president, in my view. And I just, again, when Obama said what he said to me, I got on TV and, you know, I just said, see, this shows he's, you know, conducting foreign policy with regard to his own political fortunes. It's fair game politically, but never suggested Obama should be impeached for that.
Right, right. No, I agree completely. Jim, always a great conversation. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.